check this out.
You are now about to experience the side effect.
When you're done with all of your hatred and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
The latest in pop culture, entertainment news, movies, TV, reviews, and more.
Zaccotti.
Here are your hosts, Val, Roris, Chris, Tarzan, and Kevin.
The side effect.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of the Side Effect podcast. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up your way, but before we get into that, first we're going to quickly introduce the cast. First, we got Val from Because Geek, Tarzan by Trial by Trivia, Chris from Smokescreen, we have Raris from the YouTube channel Rarist, and finally myself, Kevin from the Bat Productions. We're going to talk about some different geeky and nerdy things, particularly we're going to be going over some new Game of Thrones stuff. We got some cool stuff going on with Star Wars. Another movie trailer came out recently for superheroes. And finally, it looks like Venom got its lead actor. But first, we're going to start off with our question from the previous podcast, which is, for all of you Game of Thrones fans out there, which characters that you want to see in the upcoming trailer either be highlighted a bit more or be seen kind of for the first time? And first, let's start it off and let's ask some of ourselves about who we would want to see, and then we'll get into some viewer comments. First, how about yourself, Val? Who is someone that you think that you'd want to see?
I wanted to see a lot of people, but I'm going to go with the Brotherhood Without Banners, and specifically the Hound. I know we did get a picture of him up, you know, somewhere really snowy, in a very snowy place. So I really want to know where the hell he is, because, you know, it's gotta snow's be pretty far up north.
I gotta say, I'm just gonna jump in because it's the same. Same deal for me, the Hound. I mean, it's, first of all, everybody loves the Hound. But like you said, with the snow, it's gotta make you think, you know, they're in the north, or at least the deep north. And that's pretty exciting because it seems like all roads lead to the north right now. And I don't know. I just want to see the Hound interact with Arya once again, or meet some of the other Starks. I don't know. What about everyone else here?
I want the Sand Snakes, a 60-second trailer of them just dead. Close-up of them beheaded.
Still shot of the Sand Snakes dead.
They can pan in a little bit, in and out at their dead eyes, but...
Bad pussy.
Yeah. What about you, Chris?
That would work for me, too. I was going to say the Hound and Bran specifically. Definitely want to see Bran and maybe a little taste of his visions, maybe a little Harrenhal action or something.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they want to save that and not give anything away.
Probably not, but that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
It'd kind of be cool for a trailer because if, you know, show only watchers wouldn't really know what the hell that was.
More than likely not, for sure. Yeah, it would definitely be a learning process. So, I mean, maybe for people more astute, it gives a little bit away, but it'd still be so cool. All right, Tarzan, last one. What do you think?
Yeah, I was hoping we'd just get, you know, I know we're going to get a lot of the same, you know, a little more Dany, a little more dragons, a little more war, you know, a little more Cersei. That's a given, and probably some more Tyrion. But I had a short list. I did want to see, you know, I try to kind of picture the trailer in my head, and I wanted to see the Hound and the Brotherhood, along with a little something from the Citadel with Sam, maybe reading a book or looking at artifacts.
Sam, for sure. That's another one I wanted to see.
Maybe Bran approaching the wall or warging, and, you know, they just see his eyes roll back, but don't give nothing away, because that's what Dan and Dave do anyway. And maybe the army of the Whites approaching the wall, and maybe end the trailer with, like, maybe, you know, a large sound with some main characters kind of, what the hell was that? That's all I got.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. I mean, definitely some stuff with Bran would be really nice, I think, because that, I mean, he's going to be super important moving forward. In the short term, it's basically, you know, let's stop him from ruining things, but I think we all kind of believe he's going to before it gets better. So,
he's got to do something else that's cool, because so far he hasn't done much.
No, he's been terrible so far. All anyone cares about is he got Hodor killed.
Cool stuff. Yeah, I mean, he time traveled and warged into someone and made them mentally handicapped for their entire life and then enslaved them.
Cool?
That's pretty cool.
Are you crazy?
You can time travel and
send fan mail to Varus at Varus.
I think that's pretty cool. I didn't say it was nice, but if I could time travel and enslave people, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Hey, look, there's a lot of brand bashing out there, but you know, technically it wasn't his fault. You know, a lot of pressure, teenage boy. You know, he don't understand what's going on.
Shut up,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Teenage boys, they don't understand that enslaving mentally handicapped people is not okay. I'm behind.
It was just a cross feed in the wiring there. That's all it was. It wasn't his fault.
Exactly. Teenage brain, man.
I don't know what to say because it'll just transport me back to last episode. in last episode all over again with another Stark. Now that we got ours out of the way, we have some viewer ones, and let's pick out some of the viewer ones real quick. We'll do one or two of these guys here. One of the more interesting ones that I think it's pretty far-reaching is from someone named Boom Boom Jazz on YouTube. They wrote it's a great name. It's one of the ideas I think I came up with during naming this podcast that got rejected.
That's actually pretty damn close. It is.
Yeah, we're all creative, I guess. They came up with some names, the Night's King, which, I mean, Night's King has been in a few teasers, so I think that definitely makes a lot of sense. But for some reason, was completely out of this last one, pretty much. Bran, agrees with you on that. And then the one that's really reaching is Rhaegar and Lyanna. I don't know. What do you all think about the possibility of that?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking we did see Lyanna. Actually, we did see Lyanna. We saw a statue of Lyanna, but we did see Lyanna. I mean, I'm just...
Yeah. And it would build up hype even more if, you know, especially book readers saw just a glimpse of Rhaegar. Like, they'd be losing their fucking minds.
I feel like they don't want to show Rhaegar because they're afraid they're going to fuck it up.
Well, that's what I've been saying. I think it'll be a shot from behind or some bullshit like that anyway. So they could actually do that.
Oh, yeah, that would work.
Yeah, probably. And then I'll just do the second one because most of these comments actually agree with kind of the ones we said. But Amanda Duncan, although, you know, throws in, you know, Bran and White Walkers and stuff. And Sam, which was mentioned, they throw in Gendry. Oh. That's one we haven't seen in quite a while. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gendry. I want to see his huge arms. I love men with huge arms, so.
Or like, you know, just a hint. Wait. Oh.
Just show his forearms. That's all they just a hit, and then we'll all know. It'll be like Bronze ear in last season's trailer. We'll all know who it is.
Yeah. Also said a cameo of Benjen. Yeah, so that would be cool as well.
You're taking my job.
I know. I'm sorry. I just got super excited.
Yeah, a cameo of Benjen.
I want to see Benjen die this season.
Well,
again,
shit.
I mean, he sort of died. They halted the process, I guess.
They halted the process.
I want to see him move no more.
Wait a minute. Who's the anti-Stark person around here?
It's not me.
Christ. Arya, Benjen.
Well, he has to fulfill his purpose and then, you know, what else?
Yeah, his purpose is being a Stark and dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Bale's got me.
Okay, so... All right, so awesome suggestions thrown out there. I think the Hound was probably the most popular in there. Sam was also tossed in a little bit with some Bran. All really popular ones that are going to be super important probably, you know, moving forward. So that's great there. At the end of the podcast, we're going to have another question going on. You can check it out, thesideeffectpodcast.com, to learn more about it and our next segment. In the meantime, let's switch to some more Game of Thrones stuff. But instead, we're going to be talking about a recent update about the possibility of Season 8. Now, I usually expect Game of Thrones, you know, every year to come out, but it looks like there's a possibility Season 8 may have to wait till 2019.
But they also said there's a possibility that it could still be 2018, and I hope that they actually release it in winter of 2018 so they can finally do all their, you know, their fucking marketing about winter is here and stuff. Game of Thrones in the winter? That would be awesome!
That would be awesome, and it would be kind of like a Christmas present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
HBO, present. Please.
I mean, I certainly
a
wouldn't
Christmas
mind
present where you sob every episode, but you know.
I think this is going to suck a little bit for Game of Thrones YouTubers, because that is the holidays time. And if we're going to have to work during the holidays, seriously, HBO, thank you. But no, thank you.
Yeah, good point. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
See, I love it because it drags out the time, the duration of the series. So that means that there's more to longer time to YouTube about it with an engaged audience.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, and the other thing I was thinking is the one thing that pissed me off about those news is if they are actually willing to postpone or delay a season, why didn't they do it for season 6? Like, I thought they didn't do it for season 6 because it was impossible to delay, but apparently it is possible. So why not delay season 6 and wait for the fucking book?
Yeah, I think Dan and Dave just want to get this shit done, and now they're just trying to get it right, I guess. So.
Yeah, I know, but I'm still going to be pissed.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're also pretty starving at this point anyway. I mean, we need more. We just need more. And the fact that we're hearing about a season that's not even upcoming is going to be even further away than this past one where it's felt like an eternity. It's just so hard to bear.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so it looks like there's a possibility that could happen, but it seems like it's tied into a lot of the prequel stuff to some degree. But like I there seems to be a lot of talk like, oh, well, this is happening, you can work on the prequels, but it looks like there's also a difference between those two right now. Like a new kind of an article came out saying these four prequels that we got going on. It's like, are we going to have a bunch of them? Are they all coming out at the same time? What timeline is it? And there's a lot of clarification on it, thankfully. I know some other people had heard about this. I mean, does anyone else want to help explain what exactly the article was?
So we're not getting four spinoffs like we had hoped, or five. We're likely only getting one, so they're going to narrow it down to that. And then it's still in the really baby phases, so it's not like we're going to be getting it anytime soon. And they also said that it will not premiere anytime close to the season 8 finale. So we're at least, what, 2 years out from that spinoff, and it's just going to be one show likely.
Yeah, absolutely. But they want to focus on season 8 is basically what they were saying, and then get that done, and then we'll get one, but who's to say they won't continue with another one after that, depending on how well the first one does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Did you hear the most shocking thing about it? I found that D&D don't want their names on the spinoff show. Like,
yeah.
They said, leave our names off, which I thought was crazy. I get where they're coming from, but even the programming guy was like, yeah, we want to put their names on it if possible, but as of right now, they're telling us no.
Maybe they're getting too much hate, man. I know. I think they said that they wanted to enjoy the shows as fans and not be... Not feel like they were involved in it in any way.
Because
so
if their names were on it, they'd feel like they had to put something into it or watch the quality. And yeah, I understand that.
But are they still going to be producers? I heard two different versions of this. They wouldn't have been involved at all, but then still producers, perhaps?
This was the most recent update where I guess before there was the rumor that, yeah, their names would be on it as producers. But now the most recent thing is they said, no, we don't want our names attached to this at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like HBO came out and said something, and then D&D were like, no, that's not what we want.
Yeah, and also I think the time frame or the timeline for one of these HBO shows, it can take like a couple of years or more than a couple of years from the moment they start writing the initial draft of it, right? Like, I feel like Game of Thrones, I heard somewhere that David and Dan have been working on Game of Thrones for like 10 years or something like that. And it's obviously been less than that from the season one, from the moment that season one started. But they had been working on it years prior, like when they were building up to that. Getting it approved by HBO took a while.
Yeah, it's like 12 plus years and they've had no break. They haven't done any other projects. They haven't done any other films. So I think they want to step away. Once they're done, they're done. And you can tell because HBO was even the president was saying, hey, we want more seasons of this, expand the seasons. And D&D were like, no, we're done. So
I mean, you can't blame them. That's such a long time to work on one thing. I mean, that's I can't imagine doing that for 12 years, just anything for 12 years. I don't even know how I got through school.
She's kidding.
That's just a long commitment. So I'm glad that they're going to try something different. I mean, it's a bummer that they can't, you know, spread it out a bit more, but I don't know. That's just me, though.
But But yeah, I'm just thinking that it's probably going to be like 2 to 3 years after season 8 when we finally start seeing some advertising or promotion for the sequel or the prequel or whatever it is.
But do you think the hype will die by then?
I'm
like,
afraid
it'll be
of
so
that.
Many years. That's what I'm really worried about, yeah. Is where the hype, because a spinoff in general is not going to get as many people as the main series did. And then on top of that, if you wait a few years for the hype to die down, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, they are pretty aware of the fact that spin-offs usually get less views, so they're trying to really make it good. Like, they want to make sure that it's going to get a lot of views. But I feel like the hype will die down, but people will be missing it, I feel. So after a few years, you start seeing stuff about it again, people will get super excited, like, oh, yes, it's back. Yeah,
well,
kind of like
how
it.
Did you feel about... I watched the Harry Potter series, read it, but then when Fantastic Beasts came out, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, it's back. I was just like, oh, all right, I'll go see this, but whatever.
No, I was freaking out. I was like, holy yes, fuck yeah.
I guess for me, the hype had already died down and I had moved on to something else.
To some degree, I kind of feel the same way as you, Rarist. Like, I was even thinking as, you know, as we're sitting here talking, I'm like, okay, TV show-wise... I'm trying to think of spinoffs and thinking, has any of them done really well, or what has one ever actually been better than the original? I can only think of two TV shows anyway that are spinoffs, or three that are spinoffs. One was Joey, which is spinoff from Friends.
Yeah, that bombed.
That was bombed.
Oh, that was bad, yeah.
Frasier was a spinoff from Cheers, I think.
Yeah, which, yeah, and that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, that one turned out well. I randomly found this out, that King of Queens was a spinoff from Everybody Loves Raymond. Loosely. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that was a pretty good one, too. But it's none of them, I think, were the better than the originals, other than maybe Frasier. Frasier, possibly.
I didn't even know that was a spinoff. That's pretty crazy.
You had the Jeffersons, too. That was a spinoff in Archie Bunker, and I actually liked that probably more than... I know that's... What is it called? All in the Family? My bad. But, yeah, the Jeffersons was a spinoff, and I think its numbers were way better than All in the Family.
Wow, yeah, but the problem with a Game of Thrones spinoff is you're not taking beloved characters or some story element from it that they really liked. We're doing a prequel. There's going to be none of the characters or actors from this show, so it's going to be different than a normal spinoff, too.
It's going to be more like, this is the only other spinoff I can remember. That 80s show was a spinoff of That 70s Show. It was so bad. It was so bad. And it had the same problem. Nobody was left over. So it was just terrible. Yeah, so yeah, I agree with you on that one, Rosh. It's probably going to be terrible just because of that alone. But I mean, it's going to be worse at least. Not terrible. We will enjoy it, but the mass may not.
Yeah, that's really what I worry about. And then that might discourage them from doing any other type of project like that in the future. Like, George seemed pretty certain in the future they would eventually make a Dunk and Egg series. Well, if this spinoff bombs, HBO is going to be like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can always get a fan-made one. There's a lot of fan-made things out there that fool people all the time.
Yeah, and they're really good. Some of them are so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen some of them.
There's a I randomly got sent this in my inbox, and I'm sure at least one of you definitely did too. It was like a quick like 15-20 minute fan made thing of the duel between Brandon Stark and Baelish. It was actually super good. It's called like
I didn't
the
see
Wolf
it
Rises
yet.
Or something.
But yeah, is it free to watch? Is it just on YouTube?
Yeah, it's just a YouTube link. Yeah. It was really good.
Oh sweet, yeah, I need to watch that.
So, like, that or that, like, the battle between, like, what was it, Grindelwald and Dumbledore as young kids or something.
Oh, that one was so good.
Yeah, that's super good.
Oh, I love that one.
So, hey, even if HBO won't do it, some committed film students will make it happen.
Someone will make Dance the Dragons.
Oh,
CGI dragons and everything. It'll be majestic as fuck.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Robot Chicken should do it.
Robot Chicken. Cartoon Network. So it looks like, you know, it sucks. The idea that it may take till 2019 or late 2018 to get season 8 of Game of Thrones. I mean, I'm willing to wait. Of course, they have me by the short and curlies, but it's fun. And the sequels or the spinoffs, gosh, they'll take
let him
forever.
Do his 1930s talk.
Did you say about the short and curlies?
You heard
it. It's okay.
The short and curlies.
He's having a stroke, Chris. Just let him stroke out. It'll be okay.
It applies. Oh my God. Come on.
I thought my grandma was on this podcast for a second.
So a recent article came out that described, what was it? Toronto Sun? That described three scenes from their set visit.
Oh, it was a Toronto Sun? Huh, I'm so was proud it? Of
Canadian pride.
Yeah.
So the first thing they detailed was in episode 2, the entire Targaryen faction, they were going to be at Dragonstone around the map table, and they were going to be talking, and I believe it was Tyrion, Missandei, Theon, Yara, the Queen of Thorns, Ilaria, and Daenerys.
Yeah.
So
what the hell? That is, that threw me off so bad. Like, what? I did not see any hints to this anywhere.
Yeah, that changes things a bit there, huh?
It has me thinking that they might have resistance on their way there, but there won't be any, like, major casualties of the main group. But then once they split off, let's say Yara takes the Ironborn to go around the, you know, to the west side of the coast to attack Westerlands, that's when casualties occur or something. It makes me think the naval battle is going to be a little bit later than what we thought.
Yeah, that's why. Oh my God, that makes so much sense, because I've been hearing that the sea battle is going to be in episode 2. And I kept saying that it was going to be in episode 1 because it made sense. It didn't make sense that Dany would arrive in Dragonstone by herself and have her scenes at sea done in the first episode and then see more scenes at sea in the second episode. But it makes so much sense now that it happens in the second episode, because everyone arrives together at Dragonstone and then they leave and again from there. So they probably are, like you're saying, heading to the Westerlands, and that's when they get attacked in the second episode.
I mean, Cersei isn't that incompetent that she's going to let a whole fleet get to Dragonstone without, like, challenging it, right? Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, unless that's Euron's play, is to challenge for her and then go to her and say, hey, check out what I did here.
But how are they going to see, well, can they see Dragonstone from King's Landing? Like, who's going to know? Or are they people in Dragonstone going to
send? Well, that's my thing. Like, she has to have some, like, watch, a patrolling of the area to be on the lookout for an invasion or something, especially since she knows about the dragon mother in Essos. And, like, that's been a concern for a while, her coming over. So I mean, is she really not paying attention to the waters?
She
should have Qyburn, you know, with his now his birds. No, he should know all that shit.
But I mean, like, those dragons must be, like, very visible by now. Like, people are not going to notice three fucking dragons coming, you know, in the horizon.
Yeah, because the first thing they're going to do when they get to land is go eat and take a shit. You know, they've been flying for a long time.
Take a shit.
And kind of weird, I don't know if you guys have thoughts on this, why wasn't Varys reported to be at the table?
Oh!
Like, where is he? Has he, like, snuck off to do more plotting or something?
It's possible.
Yeah.
He's on a mission.
You know, very similar to maybe a book twist thingy, you know, with Kevin Lannister in the books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Varys is sneaky like that. He can get into places.
Especially because Cersei might not even know that he's on Team Targaryen.
Oh, wait, but... Oh, okay, I guess he's not in that scene, but he is in the pictures, Dragonstone.
He is, so I'm wondering if when they have a meeting, he's already gone somewhere else. Because why wouldn't he be at that meeting?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he's late, like he's doing something and he arrives late and he's like, oh, apologies, and they just didn't see that part. Or he was dismissed by her to go do something and he, you know, goes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many possibilities. I just thought it was a little weird.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Or they just left his name out of the article. Could be that simple.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one we have at Winterfell, they're in the Great Hall. Jon Snow, Sansa, Brienne, Davos, Lyanna, Tormund are all standing around. And then Jon is talking about how they need to start mining obsidian, the only material known to kill White Walkers. And he says something along the lines of, dragon glass kills White Walkers. It's now more valuable than gold.
Aha. Well, that was that one was pretty obvious that that's what they were going to be talking about. Like, that's what I was expecting. Like, the next steps to fight the White Walkers is what they need to figure out. Dragon glass makes sense. I mean, because they already know. They already took it to Hardhome. as the weapon that they needed. So,
does John know that there's a bunch of obsidian at Dragonstone?
So I think Davos will be the one to mention that.
And then he'll be like, oh, I have a reason to go there.
No, he absolutely does, though, because he did mention it. John had mentioned it to Stannis and Davos about the dragon glass, and that's when Stannis did say that, oh, shit, there's a shitload of it, you know, back at
Dragonstone.
Yeah,
he's talking to Sam in the library at Castle Black, yeah.
So that did happen in the show?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, great. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, he said, I know what obsidian is. We have tons of it on Dragonstone.
So that means John knows about it, and John's going to want to head out there, and then he's going to see Dany there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the trip should be twofold, to meet her, because he's going to know she's coming and with dragons, and to get some of that dragon glass as well. So
yeah, I think he's going to know that she's there before he heads there.
And I guess a question for you guys, on a scale from 1 to 10, how pissed off do you think Littlefinger is going to be that he's not part of their little powwow meeting?
Wait, he was there, wasn't he?
It's not reported that he's in that scene, that he's not there. He could be, and maybe they just didn't report it. But I don't know.
Maybe he's dead.
Maybe he's dead. Well, we know he's going to die this season. Yeah, and then we're going to, Vale's going to record her reaction and her salty tears.
And it will be wonderful. I'm going to have to. Oh, it's going to
be a million view video.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And just your thumbnail's just going to be you sobbing. You'll get so many clicks.
Oh, my God. I need to do this.
She's typing it up right now. You hear that keyboard?
Yeah. Note to self, record devastation and put it on the internet for others to enjoy. And then the final scene, it wasn't really a scene, but they noticed they were carving a massive dragon skull, and there was like 40 differently sized dragon skulls. So, and they needed them to be physically sculpted because people would be running around them and maybe jumping on top of them.
Yeah.
Oh.
What the hell? Like, the first thing obviously I thought was that it would be the skull of one of the Danny's dragons, but then I remember, like, there's no way it's going to be all cleaned up that quickly. Yeah. It's got to be one of the old dragons that I'm assuming maybe at the dragon pit.
Well, or under the Red Keep, we know they have the dragon skulls. They could be in the dragon pit. I mean, there are a few places where there's going to be a dragon skull graveyard, and those are the two places that come to mind.
Yeah. But I mean, I would expect them to have the old props that they had from, season one? Still there?
Exactly. So that's why I'm leaning more towards the dragon pit.
But then why would people be running on them? Like, okay, maybe there's going to be some sort of, like, some fight is going to break out at the dragon pit and shit's going to go crazy at the dragon pit. And that's what's going to happen.
What if they go into the dragon pit for a meeting, and you know how in the books, whores use the dragon pit for rendezvous? Maybe they're like doing weird things on the skulls, so then HBO gets their nudity quota.
Right.
They could be. Maybe that's a kink for someone, having sex on a dragon skull, and then they walk in to have the meeting, and then Cersei kind of has them removed. I'm just giving ideas, okay? Don't judge.
I'm so glad I'm not on camera right now.
Well, that would be a continuity error, wouldn't it? Since Viserys told, what's her name, in the tub that they were moved.
Ooh.
The Baratheons had them moved to the Red, you know, where Arya was.
Yeah, but those were the ones, though, in the throne room. You know, they may have had ones that were in the dragon pit, too. Maybe they just moved the... Yeah. So, I mean, that wouldn't be exactly an error. And they haven't really cared with certain things in the past anyways.
Well, were there that many dragons to have that many extra skulls?
I mean, there were at one point, but the thing is, would they be hanging around still? Would they keep them in the dragon pit? You would think if whores were using it and stuff, and they would get smashed and they would be degraded and stuff, right?
Yeah, there's a little spot in one of those calls where all the butts have been.
Yeah, they're just covered in jizz. It's just...
Oh, my God.
It's awful.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't...
Are we done with
probably
this?
Well preserved, I guess you could say.
That you want to know, that is very true, and they have plenty of protein. Should we transition to our next thing?
Yeah, I think we're good. I don't know. What do you guys think?
So we're going to transition from this conversation, and we're going to head to the big smash hit movie that's out right now, which
that
is
Kevin hasn't
Wonder
seen.
Woman. Kevin has not seen it yet, so I'm just going to be saying the nice little intro here, but we're going to review it a little bit, and I'm going to have to, unfortunately, be quiet for most of it. But based off of media right now, it's pretty hugely successful. People are super happy. I mean, my girlfriend saw it, but not me, and she said there are parts where she cried. I don't fully get it, but we're going to hear from everyone what they thought about it. So first, I'm probably going to...
I want to hear from you first, because you're a non-comic reader, so I want to hear a non-comic reader's point of view.
What'd you think?
It had many good parts and then some weak parts.
What about bad parts, Val?
Can you elaborate?
I feel like I gave Kevin so much hate for judging the other movies so harshly, and then I come out of this one feeling like Kevin. I really liked it. I thought it was really intense and really fun to watch, and I loved all the action stuff. But it left me feeling like something was missing. But I mean, like, I can get into more details later, but if you want the general review, that's how I felt.
Well, what was missing? Like, what made you feel empty inside?
Yeah. What was missing? That's I want to know.
Well, the first thing, okay, spoiler alert. I'm about to reveal who the bad guy is. All right. Okay. I don't know if this is this just gotta be canon. I mean, I'm sure Eris is the same guy, the bad guy in the comic books, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's fine. But then, like, and I also understand that he was trying to hide himself behind this, like, nice looking old man face or whatever.
They'll say it was dumb as fuck. Seeing that old, nerdy-looking man as Ares the God of War was dumb as fuck.
I know, okay, that's exactly it. But then the thing is, okay, and then when they show him, like, way back when he was losing his powers, he still had his mustache on?
And then he has this cool-ass armor and helmet, and you're like, oh, man, he's gonna have, like, really cool eyes or something, and you still see a fucking old, nerdy-looking man in the helmet.
Sucks.
Like, Jesus Christ, you couldn't have, like, CGI'd something?
Like, fuck, the armor was so cool, and the fight was so cool.
And his weapons and his power and everything. And then when he drags down, you know, to create the mask, like, down his nose and stuff, you're like, this is so badass. And then, nope, still a weird-looking old man. God damn it.
Yep. Yeah. The only thing I liked is that I really like, because that's the guy who played Professor Lupin in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was really happy to see that guy back, because I really like that actor. But
I do, too. It didn't work here, though. It just did not work, especially for the battle scene. He should have transformed a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I said the same thing, too. I agree with the look of him, but at least he got his armor back and seemed to get bigger when he kind of pulled it from all the shit around him and formed it again.
That was so cool.
Like thinking that, like, he's not just going to fight here as this little nerdy motherfucker, right? And then he at least formed his armor back and he seemed to grow. I don't know. Was it just me or he looked bigger?
No. He looked bigger, but then you looked in the helmet. Yeah. It was still this fucking nerdy mustache man.
Mustache. Yeah, but I mean, the reveal was cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I like the reveal. I also like how they kind of played with people that she was the God Killer. Like, oh, the God Killer was the sword, and then it was her. Like, that messed with people that, you know, didn't see something like that coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally didn't see that coming. Like, I was expecting, because they kept hinting at there being something else that she didn't know the whole time, and I didn't know what it was, so that was really cool to find out. But, I mean, you kind of do know what it is because, you know, when she does the whole, like, crossing her arms, like, I am doing it right now, like, I'm on camera, too, like Tarzan does. But, you know, when she crosses her arms and then, like, she blows up, like, that wave of power, you kind of know that those are the kind of powers that she has that she doesn't know about.
I love the smile on her face whenever she discovered a new power. I loved how excited she was about it. It was awesome.
Yeah, as a character, overall, I think she's really cool. I really liked her character.
Yeah, oh yeah. I think they did wonderful with Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Did anyone, I'm going to throw this out here because I feel like I'm the only one. Did the CGI seem a little cheesy and more comic-y on purpose?
It like did for me on the rope scenes, the time when she was fighting with the lasso at the little village. That didn't look great to me. That was the only little nitpicky part I had about it.
Or remember when she's a little girl and she's like running and then she's falling? That CGI was bad.
When she got grabbed by the arm.
Yeah. It was so, so bad.
And that was a bit too comic-y for me, but I didn't mind that. I mean,
but I thought they were doing it on purpose, you know, like they were trying to make it a little more lighthearted with the effects and not make it so extreme like Man of Steel.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I don't know, Tarzan, how'd you feel about the CGI and stuff? How'd you feel about her lasso? Oh shit, you didn't see it. I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it. I'm very familiar with the background story. I just had a question or two. Did they kind of go back to like where she came from and stuff? I mean, I'm not going to spoil, but is that something
this is from the new? Yeah, this is from the new, what is it, 52 canon, right? So it's if you know it, you know it. Yeah.
I mean, does it go into how she was, you know, basically, how do I say it, forged or how she became?
She was sculpted from clay. Yeah, but they originally went with that as her creation story, and then it's revealed that she was actually the child of Zeus and her mother.
Oh, they went.
So they went with the newest stuff. I think they're trying to tie in the new stuff, aren't they? Right?
Yeah, this is the newest stuff, and I like the way they did it too. At the beginning, it's modern day, and she's looking back at the picture, and basically the whole story is a memory, and then it ends in the modern day, kind of setting up Justice League stuff. But I thought that was pretty cool because you saw.
Can I ask
Bruce Wayne deliver the picture?
Yeah. What has she been doing? Has she just been, because she said, you know, I decided to fight with my heart and you know, do love. So has she been setting up like charities and trying to help humanity in that time? Because they made her seem super bitter and removed from humanity. And yet it kind of seems like she decided to try to use her heart and help people and like bring love. So I thought like maybe charities or something.
It looks like she's some kind of, you know, scientist the way she, in her little office thing there in the beginning and the end. You saw, I was trying to look for Easter eggs in that office too. I didn't catch anything, honestly, but all the stuff in the glass cases behind her.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of wondering because they did make her seem like she was just embittered by humanity and just stepped back, and finally Bruce is getting her to step back to it. But then she talked about using love in her heart, and it kind of looked like she had set up some sort of organization. So I'm kind of wondering, maybe she just stepped back from humanity, like fighting. She was done with that.
Well, no, I think implied that she kind of made that, you know, realization during that fight with Ares, though. She finally said, bye, brother, and killed him, because she started thinking back to, what was his name? I forget his name, the pilot, Fred, Johnny, whatever his damn name is. And how he sacrificed himself, right? And then she realized, wait a minute, there's good in these people.
And Steve sacrifices himself?
Yeah, I couldn't remember his damn name.
Oh, yeah, Steve Trevor's, yeah. I'm going to say something that, I don't know how you feel. I wasn't as invested in Steve as I thought I was going to be. I don't know, maybe that was just me. I wasn't as full-blown invested as I have been in the comics, their relationship.
Yeah, so if you have the comics to compare it to, I mean, I only have the movie, so I would say, I can definitely see that it didn't create a huge connection with the audience, but I mean, it was good. I enjoyed it.
It worked for you?
Yeah, it worked.
So did you believe that they were in love by the time he sacrificed himself?
Yeah, but I will say one thing. When he was pointing the gun to the bombs, like, I was like, just go for it, man. Like, you're talking to the movie, right? Because I don't know if this is canon. I don't know if he dies in the comics as well, but I was like, dude, you have to die. Like, this is going to make the movie so much better if you die. Like, please don't survive. That's going to ruin it for me. I think I've just been watching way too much Game of Thrones now, where, like, I have accepted
everyone die.
Like, characters need to die. Yeah.
I mean, he does but die.
I heard he
in the
signed on for more.
What?
Didn't he sign on for more movies? How's that possible?
What?
Oh. Yeah, that's what my buddy told me, who's a comic nerd.
I haven't heard about that. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, I can't confirm that, but that's what he said, that he signed on for more movies. I was like, how in the hell is that going to happen? Unless you're going to have some crazy twist where he got powers from the explosion or some bullshit.
Oh, my God. No, just let him be dead.
Yeah.
Because
I didn't feel like they had time to be in love. I don't know. It felt rushed a little bit, honestly.
That's how I felt, too, when he's like, I love you. And I was like, I can kind of see you guys having, like, the beginning of a relationship, but love, yeah.
Well, maybe he's just one of those guys who says it too early. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
maybe so.
He's a clinger.
Yeah. I mean, he did spend a night with Gal Gadot, though, in the hotel there in a little
that
village.
That is true.
I don't
That's know, enough man. To make a man go instantly in love.
Yeah. You know, Amazonian ass may do something to a man. I don't know.
Yeah.
That accent. Well,
oh, yeah. And the little look when she flicks her hair back, knowing she's a badass, and oh, man.
Oh, Chris.
Sorry. Okay, back on track.
That's hilarious. No, okay. I do have a few other things to complain about a little bit. There was one thing that at the very beginning of the movie when Steve breaks into, you know, into their world and just he's talking to Wonder Woman and to, you know, Diana, and he tells her, we're the good guys and they're the bad guys. And then she sees them come in. How the fuck did she know that they were Germans? She's like, oh, the Germans? Like, wait, what? Did they study, like, the world's countries and shit? Like,
yeah, that's actually implied that they do. She knows all the languages and all that. But I had a problem with the whole... I love the... It was cool as hell, the island being hidden and all that. But it's like, wait a minute. Don't occasionally somebody, you know, run into that fucking bubble?
Yeah, like, they probably kill him, is what they do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a giant-ass island to just not ever be, you know... And it was implied that was the first man she'd ever seen, obviously. So, at least during her lifetime, nobody's found the bubble.
Yeah.
Or the guards are usually guarding the area, and they just kill before she even sees them. I don't know. But, yeah, it seemed a little too easy to just pop in there.
Right. And they have one little rickety sailboat? That was kind of weird.
Well, it actually made me think of all those conspiracy theories that are, like, in our real world about how the Germans knew all these secret societies of other beings, like, you know, that live with us in this world, and they were using them for technology and shit. Like, all that stuff. It made me think of that. It was, like, the Germans finding that place that they could use for the war. Like, have you guys not heard any of these conspiracy theories?
No, I have, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was just listening to you, sorry.
Okay. But yeah, so that's what it made me think about, because there's this one theory about this guy who flew into the, what's it called, the, like,
Bermuda
he went...
Triangle?
No, not the Bermuda Triangle. He went to, like, the North... I don't know if it was the North Pole or the South Pole, and then he flew inside the Earth, and then there's, like, a... There's another world inside our Earth, and he flew into it and discovered all this new world and these different people and shit. Like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's bullshit, but yeah.
Was he on drugs?
Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, that's kind of what it reminded me of, and I figure this is a part of the ocean that they had never visited. I don't know.
Like, it I know, could be.
Yeah.
I feel like this has been beat over our head over and over again, and they kind of revealed it like this was some, like, big revelation. I guess it was to her, but how shitty humans can be and how, like, we hurt each other and we go to war and we're just awful. And I don't know, I felt like the movie was trying to make it, like, a big revelation to us, but it's like, yeah, we know we can be pieces of shit. Like, that's not anything new.
Yeah.
And I know they had to get her to realize that, but I kind of felt like they were also doing it as some sort of shock to us. And it's like, yeah, that's not too
Every
shocking.
Movie now has got these political undertones, and that's what gets on my damn nerves about movies now.
Yeah, that's why I kind of felt like it was pandering a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I kind of felt like that, but I understood why it had to happen for her.
Yeah, yeah. I will say, though, that I did like the fight on that beach. That was pretty cool.
Oh my gosh, yes, that was awesome. Yeah. I also like seeing horses and bow and arrows against guns.
I know, that was so like...
Yeah, it was badass. I felt bad they were getting shot up, though, and she was the only one that could block a damn bullet but didn't know how at the time.
Yeah. I did think about that, too. Yeah, but she like the one she when that girl like shot three arrows at the same time. And boom,
boom. Yeah, jumping the, her form and everything. Oh. I'm like, oh, gorgeous.
Yeah, and with the bullet thing and the bracelets, I guess in particular, I don't remember the canon from the comics, but is are those like, you know, forged by Zeus or whatever it is because nobody else had them? Is that right?
I don't want to answer this because Tarzan. This is your moment to shine, buddy.
Yeah, I think I'm on the right track, but yeah, go ahead, Tarzan.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, a lot of the armor and all that, well, weren't they all gifts from the gods, if I'm correct? And the gauntlets were supposed to be, see, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know, you know, what's what. So this is kind of interesting because some things are obviously different, but that's some new 52 shit, which I'm not a big fan of. According to like what I just saw, recently, which is, you know, a Warner Brothers, you know, sanctioned animated movie. And I haven't seen any of these movies yet live up to some of these because the animated movies are fantastic. And they're just really dropping the ball, I think, on the big screen. But and I'm hoping this one, I don't know, Val's making me think that maybe this one didn't do it either.
No, I think it did. I think DC actually got their shit together here. I mean, this was a great movie.
Well, let me ask a question.
The bracers usually, just on the bracers really quick, the bracers were usually a sign of their enslavement and kind of their breaking away from that. Except in the New 52, I thought it was something about, the New 52 is something about withholding her power. Like,
really?
I guess when she takes it off, she becomes more powerful. I could be wrong. It's been a while since I've read that part of the New 52.
Well, because
yeah, and I can't remember the mythology, but we have, you know, in the Greek mythology, you have the guy who makes the weapons for the gods, like the trident for Poseidon and all that stuff. I didn't know if that was implied, like he made those.
Oh, that's a good point. I wonder if movie canon is different. Sorry.
My question is this. It's like she acquired those things because she was supposed to be sent on the mission because she had won the trials. I might even sound like I'm crazy because I have not seen the movie. But she won the trials and those were her gifts to return him home.
Correct. They did not do the trials in this movie. That is the comics book, not here.
Bastards.
She stole them in the movie. Yeah.
I guess it was done in a slightly different way. There wasn't formal trials for somebody to leave with him, but I think it was kind of the tower where the sword was and all that good shit. I think that was kind of there for her to conquer.
Yeah,
if
I
that
agree.
Makes sense.
Yeah, for her to learn more about her power and yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, but they went through that pretty quickly just with the way she just climbed it.
Right. Like, but I think that was there for her to, like, if she got all that on her own, then she's ready or something like that. You know, they kind of implied that was the trial.
Yeah.
Huh.
Can we appreciate the fact that DC gassed an entire village?
What?
I think that was huge. That they gassed an entire village. Like, that was a bold move for them. In a movie where they were making jokes about figuring out her dress and clothing, and then we also have on the other end people being gassed to death in an entire village.
Right.
I thought that was kind of brave of DC, because they always say that DC never takes any risks. I think they definitely took a lot of risks in this movie, and one of them was gassing an entire village.
Yeah, I mean,
they had to show the horrors of war, man, to make her turn.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Realize what's going on.
And I also like how they could have made this into like a crazy women being super awesome, but one of the main bad guys that was doing horrendous things was also a woman.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I actually really appreciated that, where it just wasn't, oh, women are the best, and
yeah.
You know, we're Amazonians, and you men are doing sorts of evil things. It was another woman who was doing some pretty fucked up shit.
Yeah, I like those. That gave it a good balance.
You know, I didn't see the movie, obviously, but I mean, just hearing you talk about that, I was like, in a way, that's also kind of, you know, proving that, you know, like, women are badass, because I think it's hard to find really legitimate female villains in media. So, I mean, I didn't see the villain, but if that's the case, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and she got there because she was, like, the best chemist as well, right? So, she was the best of her own group, I guess. There is one other thing I want to complain about. Okay, no, I mean, like, I'm just nitpicking. I would say that, okay, the moment that she was in that trench and then she got out and started, like, going against all the bullets and shit, that was okay, that was badass, that was super cool, but then there is no fucking way that the other guys didn't get shot. I mean, like, I know that they were all focused on her, but there's gotta be a whole lot of more people shooting. And a whole lot more people.
Yeah, there wasn't one other guy that was like, oh, yeah, there's these other people that probably aren't bulletproof. Let's shoot at them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, I mean.
Yeah, they made it out to be this big-ass place they couldn't take any ground on. Then there was like 15 people in a trench.
Yeah, that's true.
How did you guys feel about the little sidekick buddies that went on the mission with?
Oh, I loved them.
I did, too. I thought it was a great little ragtag group. You know, I thought they were awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the motherfucking sniper who couldn't shoot. You had to.
And I like how the guy was kind of not really, how do you say, like breaking the third wall or whatever.
The fourth wall.
Yeah. when he starts saying that he wanted to be an actor. And like that's all he wanted to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, but I thought it was funny. Like, you are an actor.
Do that again, Val. Do that one more time for us.
I can see her laughing in the theater, turning to her date. He is an actor.
Just poking the person next to me. Did you get it?
See, it's funny because he is an actor.
Exactly.
So did you guys catch, by the way, that the new DC intro was kind of mimicking the Justice League cartoon?
I did notice the difference, but I haven't seen that cartoon, so I'll take your word for it.
That was kind of cool. I liked their new intro personally. I was a little blown away when they did it. I was like, oh, right on, DC. Well, you know, Vale did a lot of nitpicking. Does anyone have a lot of happy things to say?
Oh, I do have one happy thing to say. I was watching this movie, like, thinking, okay, I'm going to say this in the podcast. Okay. There was this one thing that I'm really, really glad they didn't forget about, and they actually, like, made it a thing, because after she fought the main, the first bad guy, and she kills him with a sword, and then she jumps off the roof, and she completely forgets about her sword. And I'm like, I'm freaking out. Like, dude, your sword, you just left it up there. Just grab it. Just, you know, like, you never know when you need it again. And then the real bad guy shows up, you know, Ares. And then she's about to reach for her sword, and then she realizes that she doesn't have it. And I'm like, yes, thank you for not making that a plot hole or something, you know. Like, I was glad about that.
Yeah, but it's like, you just forgot you left your sword there 3 minutes ago, and then he let her hop up there and get it, because it wasn't important, I guess. But she hopped back down with it, like, okay, now I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, whatever.
All right. Kind of speaking on that, I like that she killed during this movie. Like, I loved that she killed.
Yes, my buddy who couldn't stand Batman v Superman because Batman killed, and I understand that's the whole Batman backstory, walks the line and all that stuff. But, you know, what do you do when people are shooting at you with fucking machine guns? Yeah. I mean, go up to them and, I don't know, tape them up with duct tape?
Put them down for a nap? Yeah, exactly. Like, come on.
Yeah.
There was no invisible jet or no flying, correct?
Well, here's my complaint. There was not enough bondage issues. As we know, Wonder Woman was created on. There was not enough BDSM. No, Tarzan. No invisible jet, no bondage. It was a sad day.
She did have an invisible jet. I came out of the movie wondering, didn't she have, like, I remember Wonder Woman having an invisible something. Was it a car? Yeah. Was it a boat? Maybe. Was it an airplane?
Maybe it was in the movie, you just couldn't see it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Follows her everywhere, and we just didn't see it.
No invisible jet, but, you know, it's like, this was kind of the question I had. She's a god. Can she fly now? Is she just as powerful as Superman?
Same thought, because it's kind of changed over the years, and I thought it would be cool if she could fly. Wait, she didn't fly at all in Batman versus Superman, did she? She just did a lot of jumping.
That's true. The big leaps.
I was told they were cutting that out, that she wasn't going to be able to fly. That's why I was asking.
Well, she flew in this fucking movie, I'll tell you that.
Well, no, I was thinking, hey, maybe she can just jump way far now.
Well, she hovered. I mean, she straight up hovered when she got to realize who she was.
Like, slow motion.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly clear on that.
I thought she hovered with him.
I didn't know if maybe she was starting off like how Superman did way back in the Golden Age, where he just leaped And then eventually, after the radio station thing, they made it so he could fly. So I didn't know if that's how they were starting with her, and eventually it would evolve to flying. It almost seemed like she was flying at certain points, but I think Vale was right. That was slow motion.
I don't know.
I mean, it could be. But I just thought she was hovering kind of like he was. He was obviously hovering and throwing shit at her and whatever. So anyway, I don't know. Maybe no need for an invisible jet. I don't think they're going to go that route.
It is really gimmicky, though. I'm kind of glad that there isn't one right now.
I agree.
Because Batman's going to have all the tech. We don't need her with the tech, too. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Like he says, that's pretty much his superpower, just being rich.
Was
yeah,
there any other cameos or no, other than Bruce Wayne?
Yeah, I don't think.
No other cameos that I saw. And Bruce Wayne wasn't actually in it. It was just him sending a truck with a Wayne Enterprises truck to send her the original copy of the photograph they took in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the letter and it said from Bruce.
Right.
Okay, so no other nothing, no Aquaman, no nothing.
No, nope. And there were no after credit scenes either.
Oh, yeah.
Do they normally do those? Like, I actually don't remember.
DC usually doesn't. They do on occasion, but I actually was sitting in the theater thinking, okay, are we sitting here waiting for these credit scenes? Up and it's like, no, there's not any. Let's go.
Yeah, that's really the key. You have to sit in the theater and you just Google it while you're sitting there. That's
exactly.
That's what I had to do for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I was like, all right, well, here's two of them. How many are these? So Google.
There's two other things I want to say. One of them is the fact that I know how they were showing the horrors before, and I like that. And I also like at the end when everything is over and Harris is dead and the German like hugging each other and hugging, like, weren't they hugging the good guys that came?
Yeah, they were relieved too, because she was kind of right the whole time. So
yeah, and it's just, it's really cool to see how, like, you know, they're not bad, they're just following the orders of this bad guy, but like they're actually good people.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole thing that most people, I actually talked about in a video about Jon Snow being heroic. Most people, when given an order by an authority figure, will do something even if it hurts other people. It's just, it's the way a lot of humans are. They will follow authority figures. So I kind of liked it in that sense, that they were just being normal human beings, you know, following the authority figure, being lemmings. But I kind of didn't like the idea that he was actually influencing them. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of humans just being evil to be evil. It wasn't that, because they kind of made it seem like Ares was influencing them.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
Yeah, but he basically told her he's not. He's just giving them the weapons that they need to destroy each other. They're making the choices.
I didn't think about it that way. I thought about it as, like, they just didn't say anything. That's the way they felt the whole time. They wanted it to end, but they just had to do what they had to do. And after it was actually over, they revealed that relieved feeling of not having to do.
That's the feeling I got. Not that they were actually under control or something.
I don't know. I don't like that. I like the idea of them just being pieces of shit that we're willing to kill. I mean, people get off. Think about, they even show people will get physical pleasure, a certain percentage of people, from writing shitty things on the internet to people saying, go kill yourself, fuck you, bitch, hey, you're a whore. Like,
yeah,
it makes people, it gives them physical pleasure. There's a percentage of people, and it's the same thing with people that go around killing or are given a gun to do something. Like, it feels good to them. So I would have kind of liked them to stay on that route of, yeah, even with Ares gone, even with, you know, your boss gone, they're still pieces of shit and they're going to look for some other way to hurt people. Man, am I a Debbie Downer this podcast?
Yeah, just a bit. I will say one more nitpicky thing for me was the German general, I didn't see his point really in the little pills he was popping just to make him a little bit strong. I thought that was kind of...
Oh, yeah.
I think he was just trying to throw us off the scent.
Yeah.
Like, oh, to give you your power back. She said it like that. So it made us think, oh, his power back is Ares because he's wounded and in this mortal form. So it was just to throw us off his scent. But yeah, I wasn't too invested in him either.
Yeah, it was just, I didn't buy it for a minute anyway, so I don't know. Just one little, another nitpicky thing.
Okay, and the last thing I wanted to say is that I know this, if this is canon, and it was written like years and years ago, then I can't really complain all that much. But since so many people have done it at this point, seeing things like, the, you know, her aunt dying and her holding her in her arms and they're trying to say something before she dies, and then she dies before she can explain the whole thing, and then she's like, oh, no, no. Like, I mean, like, it's so cliche. It's just...
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty cliche.
Like, damn. Come on. I mean, if it's canon, I get it, but I didn't like that part, but other than that, it's cool. And the whole thing, like, at the end is like, love is... beats everything. I don't know. I mean, a bit cheesy.
I mean, that's kind of like, people say, like, oh, love beats everything. I'm like, it kind of doesn't. There's a lot of times when violence and guns and bombs love. So, exactly. Yeah, I'm kind of with you, too, on that one where it was very, I choose love. All right, well, this is like a bitter review, I feel like. A deep look into our
dark minds. I didn't even get to talk during it, and it was still bitter.
Oh God!
My God!
No, in the context of the whole damn, it was damn good. There was just those few things.
Yeah, I mean talking about things, but it was a good movie. It was entertaining.
We mentioned probably what 5 minutes out of the whole 2 hours. So I mean I think it was good. I think DC got their shit together.
Oh, definitely.
This movie.
I really enjoyed
how they tied it into modern day with the Wayne thing, and the whole thing was basically her thinking back to the history of it and her origin story and then coming back. So I dug it. I thought it was great. I thought, and the hell with those people that didn't like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Shit.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
She looks great. I mean, I can't wait to see it.
Oh, yeah. Overall, it was a great movie. DC took risks. Definitely. If someone says that they didn't with this movie, they're just being petty at this point, because it's even from a logical standpoint, not bringing emotion into it. They took risks on this movie. It paid off. They did a great job. This is one of their best movies in this, you know, world they're building. It actually has given me hope that Justice League won't be a shit show.
I just wanted to ask, how was the soundtrack?
Oh, the soundtrack was so good. I thought they started playing that song that they were playing in the trailer at just the right times to, like, hype up whatever was happening on the screen. I thought the music was
Yeah, you know, her
really
theme, her Wonder Woman theme, they saved it, I think, for the perfect moment, like, to the point where I was like, they're going to overuse this every fucking fight scene, but they saved it for the right moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, DC.
It was perfect.
Yeah. I feel like they're getting better at this. They have to be getting better at this.
Must have brought in some Marvel people to get
Oh, do not say that. The hate that poured out on us. We are editing that shit out.
Putster.
Oh, no.
Chris is being beat. Don't worry. We are taking care of this.
I just said they brought in some Marvel people to get their shit together. Is that so bad?
No, yes. that would make a lot of sense, actually, because they've been doing a lot better.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Vastly superior to anything DC's done other than the Batman.
Thank you.
I have no part of this discussion. I'm Roris from the channel Roris.
I'm just going to say
Roris
for the sake of it.
Come on.
Yeah,
yes.
That's the safe bet, Vale. Oh, okay. That's the safe bet. Okay.
Marvel's Netflix series are better than DC's movie.
Oh my goodness. Did you guys in movie news that Tom Hardy is going to be Venom? Wow.
Have you watched Flash and Arrow and Supergirl? I mean, have you seen those shows?
It's not even close.
Exactly.
And Tom Hardy is Venom. What do you think about that, Tarzan? Does that get your gears going?
He'll probably do better as Venom than he did as Bane because, you know, Marvel.
Exactly.
Oh, no, we're transitioning to Star Wars. Oh, wait, that is by Disney Marvel. Tarzan, how do you feel about Tom Hardy and Venom?
I like Tom Hardy as Venom. But I still don't have any trust in Sony having control of this picture. That's the biggest problem that I have. I guess until we get a trailer and we get to see what, you know, Venom looks like. Very upset with what they did with him in the past, obviously.
You didn't like Eric Foreman from That 70s Show being Venom?
No, man.
Oh, God.
I like that I got to reference That 70s Show twice in this podcast.
The thing is with that whole... debacle. It's like, how does a Sandman take fucking precedence over fucking Venom? Venom's a major fucking Spider-Man villain. You know what I mean? He's one of my favorite freaking characters in that whole freaking universe. And they just did him so wrong. So them doing a solo film, I'm curious to how they're going to do the storyline, because this is supposed to be like separate, right? So are we even going to get Tom Holland in this at all? It looks like we're not.
No.
Right?
You're not. It's a totally separate universe. This is done by Sony, not part of the MCU. Nothing.
Interesting.
You may not even get Spider-Man.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be weird. I am worried. I'm hopeful, but I'm worried too. I mean, I love Venom. I love that he's getting his own standalone film, but if they butcher him, I'm going to be pissed.
But I mean, since it's a standalone, I think there's probably a higher probability that they're not going to butcher him. I mean, like, he can't be misused in a minor role, kind of like you were talking about with Spidey 3. I would assume they're going to do it right, but I don't know. I mean, some of the news out there is that they're looking to almost kind of make their own universe outside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and not just like random strung along movies, but maybe this will be part of a bigger Sony universe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to make it work, but could highlight some more minor characters, which I think is kind of a treat in the Spider-Man universe, because it's always going to revolve around Spidey. He's always going to get a ton of the screen time. But I don't know. I'm intrigued. I'm like you, I'm not confident, but
yeah,
I think they got the right guy. Well, maybe not the right guy, but they got a good guy in Tom Harding, and the director's pretty cool. Ruben Fleischer, he directed Zombieland. That makes me happy.
Here's my addition to this. I don't care. I love Spider-Man, okay? I love Spider-Man. He rustles my jimmies. I don't give a shit about Tom Hardy playing. It's nothing for me. I get no tingles, nothing.
Well, what about just the Venom movie in general?
Don't give a shit.
You love Spider-Man, but you don't care about Venom?
Not from the people that are doing it. No, fuck them.
Oh.
Okay. Know in the comment section where to direct that shit. And you guys know where her channel is.
Yeah. Also remember the little Marvel butt boys that this podcast as well.
Oh, my God.
I think it's very clear the superior brand, okay? I don't know what argument you can make other than Batman. Otherwise, it's Marvel all the way. You know it.
I know nothing.
Chris?
Let's transition to Star Wars.
No, we're talking about Venom.
Oh, God damn it. I'm done with Venom. I don't give a shit about Venom. Hey, you want to know what else Sony did? Fantastic Four. Muting myself again.
Oh, they did terribly. Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible.
See you, though. That's different. Sony, maybe.
No. I'm saying Sony, the same people that are making Venom, made that movie.
No, I know. Maybe they'll redeem themselves on this one. I don't know.
They won't. They're just going to keep fucking up because that's what they do.
I 100% did agree with you on that. Sony scares me.
Yeah. Yeah. They just need to give that shit back.
But didn't they do Spider-Man, though?
Yeah, they're exactly.
And that was like, I mean, Spider-Man 1 and 2 are arguably two of the greatest comic movies ever.
I don't know. I don't even want to say anything. Sony just, I don't know. They don't get it.
I mean, but they've shown it.
Homecoming's Sony and Marvel together, right? I mean, that's their deal, right? And they got like two more movies before the deal's over?
Sony more has the watch over on it. And of course, with Marvel doing it, it looks great. You know, as long as they ain't infringing or stepping on their toes in any way, they're getting a free paycheck. Of course, they're like, oh, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? But yeah, basically from what I've been, you know, what I read is that basically, I mean, Marvel is, they're at the controls and they're just kind of basically Sony's watching and making sure they're okay with what they're doing.
And that's the best way to handle it, truthfully. If Marvel can handle it and just use Sony characters, I trust that more, but I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to totally count Sony out when they have had success in the past. So moving on to Star Wars, there's a lot of different stuff that we have down. Some of it particularly is Star Wars. It looks like not all of the universe is mapped out since the beginning of going 7, 8, and 9.
So that means all you people that have your theories about whose parents are raised, no idea. They had not mapped that out. So I don't know.
Does that mean that they haven't had it mapped out since the beginning, or they still don't know?
Like, I think they know.
They admitted that they still have stuff that they don't. It's not plotted out yet.
But like I think the parent thing is put to bed. I mean, I'm sure other stuff isn't.
Well, yeah, they said that we're going to see something about her parents, or at least hear about them. That's kind of worrisome that they didn't have her parents plotted out when The Force Awakens.
Well, remember
out.
In an interview, she said she thought it was fairly obvious. She didn't know it was even a big thing until people started, you know, making YouTube videos about it.
Well, then someone's lying.
Yeah, she obviously knows. She's a Skywalker.
She's not. She's a Kenobi.
Oh, Jesus.
One day we're going to have to have that debate off of the, who the parents are. Just a whole segment.
Isn't she a clone of the Emperor? I think that was what they went with.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one.
Yeah.
See, I've even heard she's just flat out the daughter of the, like, you know, a daughter of the Emperor rather than just a clone. But either way, she's a product of evil seed. I've heard that.
I hope she turns into a Sith. I really hope by the end that Kylo Ren redeems himself and he goes back to the light side. As much as, you know, he had the both dark and light in him. And then I hope Rey just goes total dark side Sith. Awesome. Like, she brings the Sith back. I wants that. I wants that so bad.
Man. I would like the idea of Kylo Ren going back, but I'm not too crazy about the idea of Rey bringing back the Sith.
Yeah, and you want to know how she does it? She murders Luke in front of Kylo. Kylo finally flips out and realizes that he loves his family, and she just, like, is licking the blood of Luke Skywalker off her hands.
This is terrifying.
Barbara's just terrifying.
Yeah. I'll just say, from the logic standpoint, this does not go along with the Last Jedi thing, unless of Kylo counts, I guess. But we gotta get to the gray Jedi part. We gotta get to the in-between.
Yeah, Luke is a gray Jedi, and she wants to rebirth the Sith in front of Kylo, and then Kylo becomes the Last Jedi. I think it makes perfect sense.
I think the Sith are dead, too. That's my personal opinion. I think they're gonna be gone, too.
Oh, yeah, they're gone, but they're coming back.
No, I mean permanently.
And then we're gonna figure out R2-D2 is able to use the Force as well, like Skippy the droid, and he joins Kylo's side as his Padawan.
Yeah, why not?
They just agree.
Tarzan, nothing. I am okay, you Tarzan, and I am getting nothing.
Yeah, I learned a long time. I've been married before. I just agree with crazy sometimes. It's the best. And keep your back against the wall.
Saying the stupidest shit I can imagine, and nothing is provoking you.
It's, so I'm trying to
be laughing. I've been arguing with Devin about fucking Sansa for the last 4 days.
So what do you think that it not being mapped out? I thought that was pretty similar to the original trilogy where, you know, Darth Vader being his dad was kind of a thing.
I agree with that, though, because, you know, I watched those Catherine Kennedy interviews like that of where they were going. But I think a lot of the, you know, I think they had the skin and the other stuff has been developed. I think they've left that open.
See, I don't agree with that because she got called out by that. And they asked the director for this next Jedi, like, hey, she says that you had some things filled in. And he was, oh, 100% had the script written. There were no notes, no restrictions. I created this from, you know, blank, like the team that came in. So he clarified, and so did Pablo, who's on the storyboard. So he said one thing, and then they said, well, of course that they talked about it initially, but it didn't influence this next. Like that, like when Mark Hamill did a panel anymore, and, you know, I'm not as important anymore. You could see Kathleen out in her chair, like, looking at him, like, shut the fuck up, shut. And then finally, she interjected multiple times, no, 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 just as important to, you know, this new trilogy, and he's going to be around, and this is just as much about him. And she started going to interviews after that and saying it more and more. Sometimes say things they're not supposed to, and she's the one that kind of dials it back.
Oh, and then you got JJ.
Mark Hamill did say he didn't agree with, they did about this character, and then but said this what his responsibility to make it happen anyway or something.
Yeah, he did not agree with any of the direction with his character, his motivation, why he'd do it. He's like, no, this isn't Luke, but like, now that I said I 100% disagree with you, it's my job to bring your creation to life. So that kind of worries me.
Yeah,
too.
So he's gonna walk the line and be gray and teach her that.
That does terrify me. If he's not, like, if he's not into it and he totally disagrees, I mean, this guy's been Luke Skywalker for, what, 40 years or something? That is kind of terrifying to me. Well,
to justify to us why he went into hiding, why he stepped away from, because if they don't give us a good justification, it could go real bad for the image of Luke Skywalker. And we want him to be this kind of, I don't know, gray character, I don't know. But they need to be really careful about his motivations and why he did what he did, because it could turn bad for his character and how he's viewed very easily. And
it'll
I worry
make him look like a punk
that Mark,
if he, you know,
yeah, exactly, and or a coward. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe something like that is going on, and that's why Mark Hamill's like, whoa, 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 no, Luke wouldn't do this. You know, this is the kid that went around after Kenobi died, going on these missions. This, all these artifacts, trying to become a Jedi. He was just so set. It was in his very blood that he was going to become a Jedi and restart the Order. And then he just abandoned everything. There needs to be a really good reason for that.
Yep, I agree. And it can't be he knew about his daughter if she is, in fact.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
He's got to think she's died too or something or whatever it is.
100%.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. He's done so far with this new setup, in my opinion. Love The Force Awakens, that I'm gonna have faith that these people are brilliant, because I think between, you know, the five of us, we could sit here and I think we could come to a conclusion after a couple weeks of what we think a good plot would be that would be pleasing. So if they're, you know, big wigs in Hollywood, I'm gonna try to trust them with it if I think we could put up something good too.
Yeah, but other things get in the way. What we think would be good, other politics get in the way. Branding, what they think should happen, too many creative heads clashing. A lot of things get in the way of a good story, unfortunately. You even saw that with Rogue One, where they were initially afraid to do the ending they wanted to do because they thought, no way is Disney going to let us do it. But they took a risk and they did. You know, there's fears like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you just don't know. We could come up with a great story, but we don't have people breathing down our neck. We don't have a corporation over us. We don't have these restrictions. We aren't told, hey, BB-8 sells really well, so he needs to be more prominent in this next film, so make sure you tweak it. And we don't have those stipulations on us. So yeah, we could come up.
That's why George went independent in the first place, you know, in the old school.
Yeah, exactly. So
now it's right back in a corporation's hands. So.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't know if you heard this, but yeah, that's why you got Jar Jar Binks.
Prominently
pushed. Exactly.
That's why BB-8 is supposed to be, because the director of this new one, The Last Jedi, was told, hey, people really go along with more BB-8. So he put BB-8 in a lot more, and he's going to leave, and that has me worried. You know, what worked with BB-8 was that he was adorable, and he had these little. Now are you going to shove him in our face all the time? Because the other people are going, hey, BB-8 sells well and kids love him and we can sell more toys. So, you know, it's just stuff like that I get paranoid about.
Yeah, maybe they'll do a BB-8 spinoff movie like Han Solo first.
Oh, I love him in the Poe Dameron comic issues. He's so cute. I love when they translate what he says, because it's not what I think he's saying at all. It's very bizarre.
I you know what? I agree that I'm a little wary when they push someone like BB-8, kind of like even R2-D2. Like, everyone loves R2, but, you know, it can even get old there. But, man, do I love BB-8. I love the fact that
so
BB-8's voice is Bill Hader and the guy who plays John Ralphio from Parks and Rec. Like, that's the greatest. Like, I will listen to that all day if I could just think of those two grown men just sitting in a sound booth going, beep, boop, boop. That's so great.
Boop, boop, boop.
It's like, Kevin, when I heard an episode of South Park that George Clooney, they brought him in just to bark like a dog. He didn't have any other part. He just barked like a dog.
Sparky.
They're like, oh yeah, and starring George Clooney, who is the voice of Sparky.
Wow.
I know, fun fact for you. About something ago with our discussion about Wonder Woman, we have some movie trailers, but this week we're going to talk particularly about the Justice League trailer, which... we know Wonder Woman is all about. This was super good, I think. This is the international trailer in particular that just came out about 4 days ago, 5 days ago, something like that. I thought it was a pretty good trailer for the most part. You know, everyone looked pretty cool. Again, they kept Superman out of it. I thought they portrayed Cyborg pretty well, because before it was like, eh. With his character, but I don't know. They showed a good amount of footage there, which I enjoyed. The one thing that I took away that I tried to interpret as much as I could, Aquaman's character, it's based off of very little, but I'm wondering if they're like positioning him to sort of be like a Drax in some way, like Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy, because he seems like this badass guy that, you know, messes people up.
It kind of seems like his character from Stargate. I don't know how I feel about Aquaman. Aquaman certainly can be a badass. He got some shit because of the super friends or whatever, which fucked him, because then you got those dumb 80s kids or early 80s kids and younger that are like, ooh, super friends, he's an idiot. It's like, no, fuck you. You're using one thing and using it against him. He has had some, okay, maybe the beginning comics were a little stupid, but he's had a lot of awesome moments. But I don't know how I feel about this Aquaman, because it seems like they're trying to make him too hip and like, haha, like, you know, when he jumps on Batman's car and he's like, yeah, and I'm like, that's doing it for me.
Well, that's what I'm talking about with the Drax thing. They're trying to make him this like crazy kind of badass guy, like how Drax laughs at any danger that's about to happen. It seems it feels like that because of that.
It's forced, honestly. I love Aquaman. I'm not ashamed to say that I love Aquaman, and I know he can be badass in the comics, and he's gone through some grittier periods. But I feel like they're trying way too hard to make him badass in the movie to try to get over the stigma of super friends. And for those, you know, people in their 30s, 40s, maybe early 50s, no, it'd be 30s, 40s, that were like, oh, super friends, Aquaman sucks. And it's like, you haven't read a fucking comic in your life. Shut up.
I think this Jason Momoa Aquaman's badass. And the thing you were saying, he's kind of over the top in the Drax, that could be true. But think about, we're probably seeing that near the end. So in the beginning, it's going to be a little more standoffish, I'd imagine, the way the trailer shows. So maybe he'll kind of open up a bit, if that makes any sense.
I think he's,
you know, to that Drax type character.
Like, I think I'm kind of with you on that, where I think kind of more loose cannon, then he'll more develop into that. Because he definitely seems to be scary in the first trailers that came out.
Yeah,
and close
he's
off.
Walking along with the Jack Daniels bottle and slamming into the tide. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really hope when we get an Aquaman solo film, he does the "I am your king" to his people. Oh, man, that would be magical.
And some Black Manta. Got to have some Black Manta.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So the question is, are they going to tie this in with Wonder Woman style and actually go the route of his origin? I know we won't probably see it in this movie necessarily. Maybe we'll hear a little thing about it, but we'll go with like Poseidon, you know, and all that type of stuff.
Oh, so if they're gonna change it from, you know, Atlantis ruler and a human to, oh no, you were made from a god.
Yeah, I mean, woman. I think to keep it consistent, they should go that route. I mean, obviously he's already Atlantis, but will they tie that in as clear as they did with Wonder Woman? I haven't read any recent Aquaman comics, so I don't know what the canon is now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I can see them doing it. I kind of see him and the photos I've seen of Mira. I kind of feel like they're going to be the batshit crazy couple. Like, they're going to fight, and then they're going to passionately kiss, and she's going to be just as batshit crazy as him. It just seems like they're going that generic route with those two. And they're not going to give... what I like about Aquaman is the depth of not fitting into either world. He doesn't fit in with the humans, and he doesn't necessarily fit in with the Atlanteans. He loves both sides so much, and he's such this conflicted character that cares so much. But here, I think we're just getting batshit crazy.
I thought you were going to say he didn't fit in with the fish.
Well, I mean, he can control the fish a little bit. Well, he kind of talks to him. I guess we're depending on what version
Doesn't
we're
he get his hand bit off by a bunch of piranha in the comics?
Well, so there's multiple storylines.
He cut his hand off in the cartoon to get out of something and save his child, correct? And that's hair similar to Jason Momoa in that series. I forgot the name of that series. Maybe Tarzan, you may know that series.
I don't remember. I know what you're talking about, because the cover had him with the blonde goatee and the fucking little trident hand.
Wait, is it a cartoon?
Can in this Comic. Movie, I would... Oh, my God.
Please, cool.
And please give him a hook hand. So if they can make him just like, not because he's a bloodthirsty warrior, but because him and Mira, they went through something horrible. Maybe they lost their child and, you know, they had together and they are really kind of out there because of it. It would be awesome if it was some personal tragedy
It seems like it's going to be with the whole, you know, climbing the bottle thing. He seems to be addicted to Jack Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I love that shot where he finishes it off and then he just throws it to the ground. Although I feel like he would not be littering by the water like that, but...
He has no care for the ocean, ironically. Yeah.
I'm least excited about Cyborg. I'm loving this Flash. I'm loving this Flash because I don't know. I watched CW and it, I mean it's okay. And I know I'm but early. It's okay, but it's cheesy.
He doesn't but this, like Flash.
No, he doesn't look like Barry Allen.
No, not at all. How are you feeling about the Lightning? Like the color?
I like it.
Him when,
it this is the way he's supposed to.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of cool how he moves just so quickly when fighting.
It's true. I guess it's just so many people associate the yellow and the red. They just want that, but I don't care.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't mind it either way. But I just
it does look more realistic.
The way he's supposed, like in the show, they don't portray him as fast as he should be. Like he stands there and gets punched out. Like really, come on.
Well, he has such a... He's so stupid in the show. It's like, come on, Barry Allen's not that stupid. Come on.
You know, I used to have drag out debates with one of my students at work, and he's a huge Flash fan. And he would say, yo, anyone in the universe, because how fast he is. And, you know, I was like, you're crazy, Superman. But then, he kind of proved me wrong on that one. But,
yeah, when you can control time... and change. I mean, bad shit happens when you do that, but...
I mean, I didn't realize this. He's like, yeah, there was one point where Flash raced a teleporter across the universe and won. like, how do you even get hit if you're the Flash? So, kind of going off of what we were talking about. If you're that fast, how is it even possible you get punked out like that?
So, do you think they're going to weaken him in the movie?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to have some vulnerability. I mean, I understand that, but, like, in the show, it's just like... You know, he don't even move. I know it's a TV show. They don't have the budget and all that stuff. But you know what I mean? You can see he moves like he's supposed to move as fast as he is, being faster than Superman in this movie. So,
yeah, definitely. Let's talk about Cyborg because I have not been excited about him even from the initial shots of his armor. I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't dig the Cyborg thing anyway. You know what I mean? As far as the character.
I would agree. I'm indifferent for the most part about Cyborg in general. I mean, he's clearly... Like, when they said that he was part of the Justice League movie, I was like, I would have preferred you try in Green Lantern again or something like that.
Or character anyway. I mean, I like he's cool and he seems like a cool character. I've just never been a huge fan of Cyborg.
Like Martian Manhunter. I would have
loved
Martian.
Thank you. There you go. Finally, oh my God, I'm agreeing with Kevin.
Yeah. And they proved oh my they God. Can do it well on Supergirl CW because that's a decent Martian Manhunter.
Don't you even try to say that's right because they make Martian Manhunter to be foo-foo on that show compared to, you know, like the comic Superman's like, oh, that's the one I want with me all the time. You know what I mean? Martian Manhunter is the shit. I mean, he could, you know, ghost into people. I mean, I'm not happy with the Martian Manhunter. I was so happy he was going to be on Supergirl and then the version we got, I'm like, what the fuck? So
maybe that'll get added in a sequel, like kind of like how the Vision came in later for the Avengers.
So who's the seventh then? I mean, they're obviously not showing one. So is that Green Lantern?
I hope. I don't know. Cause who else would there be? Like Hawkgirl?
Maybe Shazam or Hawkgirl. Yeah.
Well, they're going to do Black Adam at some point. I know he's not who you would pick, but I'm just trying to think of DC movies. For me, it's definitely Green Lantern, but I don't know if they really want to go down that
Green
road so
Lantern
quickly.
And
yeah,
the
that
Flash,
would be a huge risk again.
Flash, though, their relationship, I would love to see them buddying up. They're like fighting battles and they're just being the buddies they usually are in the comics having a conversation. That would be so cool. And you wouldn't need a backstory. For Green Lantern or for him.
I definitely am ready to start a war. So if we do get Green Lantern, which Green Lantern do we want?
That's good because I think universally the best Green Lantern is, I would say, is Hal Jordan. But I got a feeling they would go.
I like John Stewart a lot better myself.
Kyle Rayner's good, just not Guy Gardner.
No, not no, we agree on that. So it's down to two.
Is that another ginger discrimination? Did I?
No, he's just. Hey, I support Sansa.
Oh, that's right. It's Tarzan. It's Tarzan. Yeah. Ginger hater.
It's those gingers, man. They get bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, he's a little too... Where's the badum... Shh.
Oh, hold on.
We can settle it. We just need some Jell-O and a kiddie pool.
Jell-O and a kiddie pool.
Val's going
to
represent
me. Why do you want Vale to get hurt so bad, Tarzan?
What?
She's a sweet, innocent girl. He wants me to fight you.
Wait. This did not come from me, did it?
He wants to fight you.
Chris, help me out. I did not come up with this. I just antagonized a little bit.
Yeah, that was me. That was... Y'all started it, though.
Tarzan wants to see me beat the shit out of her.
Poor Val.
Yeah. So sweet. So innocent.
I will shank.
I will shank.
Yeah, she has
she's sneaky. Don't underestimate little Val there.
She's a rogue. She has knives everywhere.
Just says, I will
Don't
shank.
Expect a fair fight in the kiddie pool, I'm telling you.
Yeah, exactly.
Val, her kryptonite is her colon, remember.
Actually, I'm pretty sure stomach area, because the stitches probably won't be healed that well by the convention. Ugh. So just sucker punch me there, Vale. Oh, open me God. Back up. I bleed everywhere.
Whoa. See, she wants me to win. She's so nice.
See, I'm giving her the weak spots.
I just want to record it live. We're going to get a shitload of views on that one.
So what Green Lantern do we want again? Or
there you go.
I don't want any Green Lantern. I don't know.
Who would you prefer then?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have an opinion, obviously. Green Lantern, it's just like, I don't know. That last movie just fucked it for me.
It was.
Anything you think of, it's like, well, who can ever beat him and realistically?
What do you mean? Like of Green Lantern?
I mean, just think of something in the ring does. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just almost.
Yeah, but he can run out of power. And what if he's not that... And what if someone's faster than him?
Now, that would make an interesting... Some dumbass redneck from, you know, with an IQ of 50.
Hey, Tarzan, do you want to be the next Green Lantern?
Oh, boy.
Fuck, I don't want that role.
Wait a minute, did you just call him a dumbass redneck with an IQ of 50?
Oh, you little...
Chris, I would never...
To be fair, I think you got an assist on that one, Chris.
No, I'll take your place in the damn kiddie pool.
Do it.
Hey, Vale. Wow. I give you hints on how to take me down, and you just throw me to the wolves.
Oh, man. I just want to see show.
Tarzan, well, you have to wear a bikini in the pool. That's the rules. Them rules are the rules. You got to wear a bikini.
I did want to comment on what kind of Chris was saying on the, there are really good villains in that Green Lantern universe. You got Atrocitus, is that how you say it? Am I saying his name correctly? And then you have Sinestro. So they're pretty much equal. One's red, the other is yellow.
Sinestro's not a bad guy. He's just misunderstood and he could rule. He could rule much better.
But he's the equal to that. On that. And so is Atrocitus. I don't know if you guys, what you know about him, and he's
Sinestro. That is, I think, where the first Green Lantern movie just started with Sinestro. This whole when they just his background, but he's that villain they have is stupid. It would introduce a cool villain like Sinestro into the Justice League universe. I would like that very much. And Atrocitus, that'd probably be fine. And I don't know if they would ever get to that, but unless the Green Lantern had its own successful franchise. But I, regardless, the options are good.
I agree.
I think so.
What do we think about Superman? What's going on with him?
He'll be back later.
I say midway through he's gonna go.
Sounds about right.
Now, we are going to go to the man, the guru, the specialist DC Comics. Tarzan, how did you feel about this trailer?
My opinion on when Superman is going to show up is going to be at least 3/4 of the way through the movie, because there's too much character development that I have to go with these characters. There's no way it's going to be halfway. I will put money on this. There's just, we're seeing bits and pieces of this, that, and the other character. There's no way Superman's coming into this 75% of the way in, maybe even a little later. But Superman's going to be
in. I agree. Matter of fact, with Zack Snyder doing it, he may show up at the very end and say, "What did I miss, guys?"
I didn't know he's coming back because those stupid figures I love, the Funko Pop, he's part of the Justice League set. So, you know, Superman's...
And now it was so retarded how they did that in well, can I say retarded? Jesus.
Batman versus Superman. You just said it, and we all support you 100%.
Yes, Batman versus Superman, and now he can never be fucking Clark Kent again in these movies. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. That pissed me off when they showed the stones coming up to you at the end, even. Like, come on. You didn't have to do that. Let us guess. I mean, we all knew he was coming back, but don't feed it. Us. We're not kids.
That's
some
true.
Of us are.
I mean, obviously he's coming back, but no matter which, I'm so pissed about how they did that, because that was a great time in comics for those of you who remember that. You know, the death and the resurrection of Superman, it really made them a shitload of money, and I really hope it would be more of a solo thing. Like I said, they just jammed all this shit together trying to catch up with Marvel. But no, I don't think no matter how they do this resurrection, I'm not going to be happy with it. I just hope maybe I can be okay with it.
I think that's all the best you can hope for.
I mean, his death really didn't make sense either. He could have given that to Wonder Woman. It was dumb.
Yeah, so that's what I said. It was supposed to be Superman v. Batman. It was a Batman movie. Superman. That's all Zack Snyder did there. Yeah. And obviously now with the rocks floating up, he's just going to fly out the fucking ground, I guess. I don't know.
Yep.
Probably, yeah. I don't know. Any other comment on
Wait,
that?
What happened? I didn't watch this movie.
What happened? What? Oh,
what are you guys talking about?
Nap is
over.
I'm
surprised you didn't unmute giggle, and then that's it.
Superman died.
Yeah, Superman bit the dust in the stupidest way
died?
Possible. Yes. I feel like we just told a kid Santa isn't real.
Damn, Val, that was like 1998.
Oh my god.
Holy shit. Okay. Well, I'm over it.
Wow, you got over that quickly. Superman died? Oh, well, not that big a deal.
Tarzan?
Any closing words from Tarzan, I guess?
We want to hear how you think about Cyborg.
Victor Stone character. For those of you who've seen like Justice League War, the animated movie, it looks like they're kind of going that route. Victor Stone is is he a running back or is he a quarterback? He's a star football player, and basically his father works for is it Star Labs? So basically, becomes seriously injured in war. It's because of oops that Darkseid has, and what happened? Now I'm not saying they're going this route, but basically what happens is his father is the shit when it comes to this type of stuff, creates Cyborg. He's not happy about it in the beginning because, I mean, he'll never be human again, and a part of him wishes he was dead instead, but he slowly reforms to this character. I do agree that he shouldn't be one of the first seven. I'm okay with the character, but it's just, I don't know. I don't know if it was for CGI. Well, no, because Cyborg should be a shitload of CGI. Honestly, he's got so many, you know, his arm turns into a giant cannon, but I doubt they're going to go that route, I guess. But Victor Stone being in it, I guess we're just going to have to live with it. That's all I got to say.
So I'm curious, Tarzan, what you think about his armor so far that we've seen. Like, how do you feel about it? Because I hate it, but how do you feel about it?
Yeah, it's looking a little cornballish, I guess. That's the best way to put it.
Do you think it's just not done? Like
it's like there's not a lot of effort put into it. You know what I mean? They need that damn Game of Thrones costume designer, because I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praising on how good the wardrobe looks for this new season. And I know I shouldn't do that, but yeah.
Oh,
it's
it
just
is.
Like,
it's gorgeous. Oh, my God. Yes.
Some of them look okay. Some of them could use a little work. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I the Batman Superman thing, I was kind of excited when they announced it. And then when I saw the trailer, I was like, the fuck is that? Is that Doomsday or something from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? What the fuck is this? And I just, you know what I mean? I have a bad taste in my mouth, just like I do with Sony. It's just, I always have room in me to, you know, okay, give me something. You know what I mean? You can redeem yourself, but we'll see. I don't have high hopes, but I'm hopeful.
Feel about Zoom then, because it was much more bright than normal for
Gail Godot's just fine as hell. I think I look more at her than the guy. That's a fine looking woman. They did. It was like around her. I'm okay with that.
She fine.
Yes, she is.
And she served in the military.
Nice. Hey. I'm getting happier by the moment. Stop.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna have to get off the camera. Kind of mandatory.
Jesus.
Hey, what? You could have fled.
Okay, well, I think we can all agree we're super excited for Justice League. Well, I think we can. Vale really isn't up to date on it, but we're going to make her excited. But now let's end with the question of the podcast.
So the question of the week, actually, I think we're going to start calling it question of the week because this is going to be a weekly podcast. So that kind of makes sense. If you guys can come up with a better name, let us know. If we can come up with a better name. Anyways, another thing that I wanted to say before we ask the question of the week is that for us to be sort of these answers in the comments a lot easier, we are going to start using a hashtag. And you can do hashtag Q or hashtag QOW, question of the week, or hashtag Q, which is an idea that Rarest gave me after I suggested hashtag QOW. And thank you very much, Rarest, for making things so much simpler.
And don't start things. Chris is mine. Don't start the fight.
So the question is, what sci-fi/fantasy weapon would you most want to have in a zombie apocalypse?
You are pumped.
Use hashtag Q and then put your answers so that we can find it easily, either in the YouTube comment section or you can message us if you're watching this on iTunes or listening to this on iTunes or whatever.
So you were awfully hyped about it. That's what I said. I didn't say anything about it.
Would you choose the zombie apocalypse?
Yeah, she said zombie apocalypse.
Your inflection went way up.
For a
thank you for listening to the
information or to reach out, please visit
thesideeffectpodcast.com.
Tune in next week to experience more of The Side Effect.
The Side Effect.